Next on BYUSN, game day eve for the final regular season BYU football game. The Cougars look to get 10 wins, taking care of Houston, but does BYU need to make the Big 12 championship for this season to be a success? Plus, we roll out our weekend rootables. The list is lengthy. What needs to happen for BYU to get to Dallas?
Men's Hoops drops its first game of the season in OT to Ole Miss. What did we learn about the Cougars in their first real test? And former Houston basketball player and BYU coaching legend Dave Rose is this week's Big 12 Pick'em guest picker. What does he think of the men's hoops team? And would he pick against his alma mater in football?
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Open for business with a Black Friday special. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who loves a good hypothetical victory, Jerome Jordan.
How about Nick Saban going on the Pat McAfee show and talking about subjective issues? What would Ole Miss's record be if they were in the Big 12? And then the Big 12 clapped back, as they say, undefeated in hypothetical games, and it's bowl games for the past couple of years. Sugar Bowl, right, back in 21. That was with Gary Bohannon, wasn't it?
All against Ole Miss, by the way.
Peach Bowl, Texas Bowl. These are, you know, TCU and Texas Tech and Baylor winning against Ole Miss. So, yeah, the Big 12, Twitter account, feisty, to say the least. But it's so that conversation is so annoying, frankly, because the risk land domination of conferences picking off the Pac-12 teams and even the Big 12 and whatnot, there are fewer head-to-head matchups of said teams to know who's good within a conference, let alone another league. So it's been annoying this year to see the disrespect to the Big 12, where it's like, why is the Big 12 getting punished for parity when the SEC is applauded for that? It's annoying.
You said clap back. That was a baseball bat to the chin back in the form of a social media retort. I loved it. And Nick Saban in the Dolphins uniform. His NFL days. It's very layered.
Dude, don't win when it's sub 40 degrees.
Very layered from the Big 12 conference with that response. What's frustrating for most BYU fans and the Big 12 in this conversation, specifically for BYU, is BYU was outside of the big boy group for such a long time and had to fight so hard to get respect. It's like, well, you're in the Mountain West Conference, so yeah. Yeah, look at your schedule. You don't really play anybody. And so finally BYU gets into the club, and now BYU fans are looking at
conversation.
Now BYU fans are looking at not just the SEC, but they're looking back at the Mountain West and seeing Boise State and looking at the American and seeing Tulane, where all of a sudden their resumes are being valued. It's like, wait.
Well, Tulane's not anymore.
We can't win. Yeah, Tulane. How about that? How about that? Shout out to the fan who was in my mentions who said Tulane would beat every Big 12 team by two touchdowns.
Really?
Okay.
Really?
And with that, we're off and running on this Black Friday. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
The wins and losses are part of the sport, but learning and appreciating that's something that we can control.
Proud of the guys for showing the resilience.
There's still a lot to play for.
Staying process oriented is the key to keeping the main thing in the
control what we got through here and not focus on anything else but what we have.
Kalani said it. There's still a lot to play for. 19th ranked BYU football has a shot at a 10-win season tomorrow night when Houston comes to town. Comes to town, rather. That's incredible. In and of itself, a chance to get to 10 wins. The Cougars in blue, currently a 13-point favorite over the Cougars in red. Obviously, this is a must-win for BYU to keep any hopes of getting to Dallas alive. Of course, we'll know what they actually have to do or if the Houston game actually matters by the time we get to the second quarter tomorrow night. More on that in just a minute. Let's just go big picture here, Jerem. Does BYU have to make the Big 12 championship game for this season to be a success, when you could have 10 wins?
Is this the precursor to if they don't make the Big 12 title game and we have to evaluate the season conversation? Yes, it is, on this Friday before the regular season finale. No, it's not. Certainly the 9-0 start was a tease where it was like, wait a minute, BYU could be as high as a 3 seed if they win out or just lose one game at the end here.
Oh, yeah, let's not forget that. They were the 3 seed
they were
projected
as high as
at one
seed,
point.
Yeah, higher than, Miami
ACC
lost.
ACC champion.
Yeah, so, or projected champ. Who knows? This could all be blown up, by the way. It's funny on Tuesday nights. We're like, oh, Oregon. It's like, if Oregon loses the Big Ten title game, they're suddenly the 5 seed. And they're playing maybe Boise State, maybe BYU, depending on how things shake out. We'll see. No, because I'm going to zoom out just a little bit and go, whoa, if BYU wins 10 wins, how is it not successful? Like, what are we talking about? I know that BYU started 9-0. They could easily have been 7-2 or 6-3, Spence, 8-1 instead of 9-0. Easily. There were some amazing clutch moments by the Cougars. Caught luck, caught clutch, caught whatever. I don't care what it is. BYU was 9-0. They got the 4th-and-10 hold. They drove down and got the field goal. They got the Oklahoma State Darius Lassiter play. Crew Wakely picks off Baylor. You get 2 red zone stops against SMU. Like, there were these amazing moments. It takes and requires some semblance of clutch, skill, luck, combination of all of it. Just a nice big old witch's brew of that.
Yes.
Gave you 9-0. It was awesome. You could have easily been 6-3, 7-2, 8-1, whatever. So the fact that BYU stumbled with sub 2-minute possessions the last 2 weeks to potentially win and make it even 11-0, yeah, it's disappointing. It would have been awesome. It would have been great. But if BYU can get to the conference title game, great. If they don't and they win 10 games, then they get to a bowl game and they win that game, 11, how could we not call this successful? How could you not? I know it's disappointing at 9-0 to not get to the college football playoff at that point in the conference championship game. But there's no way you can call it unsuccessful in any way, shape, or form with that kind of season.
You can call it disappointing.
Sure.
In the moment.
A disappointing finish, not the whole season, though, right?
Absolutely.
Just the finish.
And people, and we've talked about this, compare it a little bit to, well, it feels like 2001. And it feels
like... I've said
like
that, 90 in 2001.
2008, almost, when BYU was 6-0.
Yeah.
And things were churning along.
Yep.
Yeah, there are some elements to this, but here's one stark difference. This was in the Big 12, not the Mountain West Conference. What are we doing? This wasn't a Power Four conference. So if BYU goes 10-2, maybe 11-2 as a Power Four team in just year 2 of Power Four competition, who in their right mind can zoom out and say, what a disappointment, what a terrible, unsuccessful season? No. No, come on.
That same whiner was the person agreeing with Vegas, thinking BYU was only going to win 5 games at the beginning of the year. Where were you at 9-0?
4.5 wins. BYU will be lucky to win 5. You know who you are. A lot of you were in my mentions.
And your name's Daryl.
And you BYU is going to be, they'll be lucky to win 3 conference games this year. What are we doing? BYU is probably going to win 7 games. We believe they're going to beat Houston in conference. In conference. People didn't think BYU was going to win 7 games total, let alone 7
right.
In conference.
They've exceeded our expectations. We both said 7-5.
You can have 2 separate feelings. You can view it with some logic the entire season and say, yes, this was successful. This was a massive success. But you can also have feelings of disappointment knowing what could have been because it was so special.
But at 9-0, I was feeling like, oh, this very well could have been, like I said, 7-2, 6-3. It's awesome that it's 9-0. BYU's not blowing out fools consistently. The offense, the last couple of weeks, you know, it struggled or whatever.
A regression to the mean.
There was a regression to the mean. Or did something change in BYU's offense? I'd like to think it's just a regression to the mean. Also, you're playing good teams.
Utah's defense is so
tough.
So good.
Yes. Like, second half, you pull off the pedal against UCF. That's whatever.
Is Kansas playing better? I don't know.
Kansas is the hottest team in the Big 12. Baylor's second. That's a great matchup this weekend, by the way. So you're playing Houston, who fired their OC. Their offense stinks. Defense is kind of like in the mid-40s kind of overall. That's a game you should win at home and win convincingly. The hope is that you're properly motivated because there's no question BYU is going to be excited going into the game unless Iowa State is up big and Arizona State already won. Then it could be a weird vibe. But, like, ultimately, win 10 games and get to the best bowl game you can, which, you know, Pop-Tart, there was a Twitter account that tweeted out, like, we're watching BYU this weekend for Pop-Tart. And I was like, oh, man, like, that would be disappointing because we're hoping conference title and then maybe even better.
Yes.
But, you know, BYU's going to play in arguably its second best bowl game ever, no matter what, this year.
It'll
like, I would argue Cotton 97 is better than anything BYU could get outside of the college football playoff. But, like, if it's Pop-Tart or Liberty.
The Alamo Bowl
or Texas, like, that's the second best bowl game BYU's ever played in. What are we talking about?
BYU is, I believe, if they do not get to the Big 12 title game, going to play Colorado in the Alamo Bowl. And it will be an amazing setup.
Deion said that
his players are going to play.
I don't actually believe that if it's not a playoff game.
He said Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. No. He's like, we got a bowl game. Our guys are going to play. They're going to be there. It's like, okay.
Well, that's him talking. Have they said that?
Have they decided what's best for them? Now, he's probably got some more sway with Shedeur. I don't know about Travis Hunter. So maybe his son plays. Yeah. Awesome. Either way, if BYU's playing Colorado in the Alamo Bowl and that is
the
consolation prize.
Win the game.
Awesome. It'll be a fun buildup. And guess what? A ton of people will watch because of the Coach Prime effect.
Yeah.
It'll be a massively watched bowl game. I know, disappointment for what could have been, but this has been a massive success of a season. To get to 10 wins in the regular season as a Power Four team.
Like, if BYU ends up 9-4, like they lose somehow tomorrow night and then they lose a bowl game, it's still a successful season.
Yes.
Like, the
disappointment grows.
Oh, yeah, immensely.
The wheels have fallen off a little bit.
And we would say, hey, finishing seasons, BYU's got an issue from the last 2 years. They can rectify that a little bit by winning against Houston, then winning a bowl game. Hopefully it's a conference championship game. And then you go on from there. But, yeah, let's see how this plays out. It's not, like, dead yet. BYU's got a regular season game and a conference championship, maybe.
There are two games that legitimately, one of them could swing in BYU's favor, and BYU could be playing in Dallas.
Yeah.
It's not like we're asking Wyoming to beat Boise State.
We're like, we're not asking Oklahoma State to beat Colorado.
No.
Which that game's underway.
No, we're looking at a rivalry game in Farmageddon where Kansas State is a 2 to 2.5 point underdog, depending on where you're looking, to go and win in Ames. And can they exercise the curse of the week after Utah deal? Okay. And then Arizona, 8.5 or 9 point dog to Arizona State, but they're in Tucson. They're on their home field. It's a rivalry game. Arizona has everything to play for in ruining their arch nemesis. Is that a word? Their arch?
Nemesis.
Season. It's a rivalry game. Yeah. One of those two could very easily swing in BYU's favor. The Cougars in blue beat the Cougars in red, and they're playing in Dallas. Our question of the day.
Yep.
Okay. Speaking of the championship game in Dallas, how are you feeling about BYU's chances to get to the Big 12 championship? At Tom Newfer on X says, if BYU makes it, great. If they go 10-2 and don't make it, they'll get a good bowl game and can finish 11-2. That's top five all-time season. Then that conversation starts up. Where would an 11-2 as a Power Four team rank in
the pantheon of seasons
of all the BYU football seasons?
Off the top of the dome, I would say probably because
top
power
five.
Conference. You have to get to 11. 10 probably, but it's a fun conversation.
Steven dot what's up on Instagram says, seems like it's 50-50 chances. Go Wildcats.
This is a day where I would have applauded you for wearing the shirt again.
I had to wash it.
Even if you didn't wash it.
I had to wash it.
It's okay.
Oh, we'll post the same video.
You know what's funny? A couple weeks ago, who did BYU play? It wasn't Mississippi Valley State. It was the game before that. Oh, it was Queens. BYU wore its road jersey in a home men's basketball game because Queens didn't wash the jerseys they had from the night before.
It was nice of BYU to accommodate that.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. It was good. It was nice of them.
All right. You put out your weekend rootables on X. What games are you watching closest this week?
A lot. There were 17 on the list. One of them happened last night. And
I didn't get down to the 13.
It was a massive win for all of the Big 12 with Tulane losing at home to Memphis. So the Big 12 is going to get into the college football playoff. That whole AAC nonsense debacle is done with.
See you.
Obviously, the
but
two.
What would Tulane's record be in the Big 12? Said
Gosh. Hypothetical seasons. Obviously, we start our rootables with Arizona winning at home against Arizona State.
Of course.
That kicks off things in the Big 12 in terms of what BYU is watching, most notably in the scoreboard.
Just give me the Wildcats to win there, then we know.
And
I don't need the rematch with Arizona State. I don't need the chance of that not happening.
It doesn't matter what happens between Kansas State and Iowa State if Arizona beats Arizona State. BYU's in with a win over Houston.
That'd be great.
It would just determine who BYU would face in Dallas. Yeah. If Iowa State wins, it's the Cyclones.
Great.
If Iowa State loses, it's Colorado, maybe?
I don't even know.
Depending on what happens with Arizona and Arizona State.
I'm just taking it three games at a time. That's the fourth game.
Root for the Wildcats. Simple as that. Those are the two most important. Now, the third. And I would argue this is critical as well if you're hoping that BYU has the best path to not have to be the 12 seed in the college football playoff.
We're worried about seeds.
I'm just saying. Stop. I'm just saying.
No.
Boise State needs to lose to Oregon State or, frankly, in the Mountain West Conference Championship game to likely UNLV. But this week it's Oregon State. That game is kicked off as of 15 minutes ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oregon State is playing in Boise right now. Root for Oregon State.
Scoreless.
Mountain West Conference.
Colorado up 7-0.
Championship game you root against whoever Boise State is playing. Okay? Some other ones to watch for. And again, the whole premise of this whole rootables thing is for BYU to have the teams right behind them removed and the teams right in front of them removed. So Texas A&M, number 3 Texas. People are like, oh, down with the Longhorns. No. You do not want to give the committee another reason to come up and just put more SEC teams in. It's not fun that way.
Yep.
Get A&M out of there. Have the Longhorns take care of business in that rivalry game. And then South Carolina Clemson. Interesting dealer. 12th-ranked Clemson, 15th-ranked South Carolina. Root for Clemson to win that game and get South Carolina out of BYU's immediate path. Those are my rootables. Of course, we're rooting for SMU to continue to win and make that win for BYU look better and better. And that takes care of business. If you have the full list, you can find it, X account, at Spencer_.
Check out Spencer's podcast called The Rootables, coming to BYU Radio soon.
The list is so long this week. I needed a 30-minute podcast to get through all of it.
It's weekly, just who to root against. Men's basketball falls to Ole Miss in overtime. What did we learn about the Cougars in their first real test?
That BYU is going to be competitive with really good teams in the Big 12. That was my number one takeaway. BYU has talent, and they're going to be ultra-competitive. And sure, they're going to lose some games. They have some growing pains and some frustrations. But this was the first opportunity to see this team as a cohesive unit in a dramatic, tight game. And, Jerem, they had chances to win the game.
Yes, they did.
Multiple.
Yeah.
But that was my first takeaway, is that this is the almost ranking this week, and BYU being around the cusp of a top 25 team, it's all legit. Like, they look the part.
Look, it's disappointing to lose. Like, giving up 13 for 13 free throws in overtime, getting outscored there, significantly 19-8. That's a bummer. But, I was encouraged because we saw Cannon Catchings really dial in his shot. He had struggled to shoot the three. He was awesome in this game. Foose was awesome. By the way, Foose is 91% from the free throw line right now. 19 for 21.
Yeah.
Didn't miss one yesterday.
Can Foose teach the clinic for the entire team? Because he's awesome at the free throw line.
Yeah. No, BYU's good. Like, we finally saw BYU play a good team, and they were good in this. Had a chance to win at the end. Did not in overtime. It's okay. In basketball, it's not a huge deal to lose a game. In fact, BYU can lose probably 10 and be just fine.
Simple as turnovers, right?
Right. Too many turnovers.
Too many turnovers.
Yeah. 29 fouls, 26 missed threes, 17 turnovers, out-rebounded, out-shot from the field for the first time all year.
Turn the ball over a bunch and you get out-rebounded, you'll lose.
Yeah, yeah. BYU's going to figure some things out. They should beat NC State today. I fully expect that. Watched Providence. Providence is pretty good. That'll be an interesting game coming up Tuesday. Hopefully BYU can win that one too. But, yeah, I was encouraged and excited. Yegor Demon didn't shoot it well from three. That's been not typical for him this season. He's been like a 50-plus percent three-point shooter. So I'm excited, man. Disappointing to lose that game, but it's not – like football. It's like you play 3 times the games. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. But I would like a significant non-conference win. NC State and or Providence would be nice.
Yeah.
This afternoon. Couple hours, baby. 1:30 local time. 3:30 on Fox. So
beat NC State.
You're on national TV too. So it'd be nice to show out a little bit here this afternoon.
BYU 4-point favorite last I saw on KenPom.com. Against NC State. So take care of business, get at least 1-2 in San Diego, and then have a little bit of momentum going to the East Coast to take on Providence. There was a sequence I want to bring up specifically where BYU hit 2 massive threes late in regulation. They're up 75-71. Then they get a stop. They've got the ball and a 4-point lead, and then a turnover.
Like 2-ish minutes left, I think.
And it kind of gave Ole Miss some momentum to push that game into overtime.
And even then, you have the last possession. And
you got a great chance.
They're trying to get the ball to Yegor on the wing to get it to Foose and maybe cut off that. Yegor didn't get open. They throw it into Foose, and then it kind of got stuck.
He still almost made it. Foose threw up that kind of awkward floater, and it almost went in. But
Foose continues to be underestimated, by the way.
Oh, he was number three on SportsCenter's top 10 last night. Yam.
Yes, he was. That was, hey, good. Hey, good yams for dinner and in the game.
Okay, let's go Cougar hoops. And how about BYU women's volleyball?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this come from?
Where was this last Thursday at home against Cincinnati?
Their regular season finale against 11th-ranked Kansas in Lawrence.
Yeah.
On the road.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerem, they looked dominant at times against Kansas in this match. They went in four sets. What does this mean for BYU women's volleyball?
It's exciting. It's the best win of the year. It doesn't change anything ultimately for where BYU is going to be in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they may be a couple seed lines higher, but they won't be one of the top 16 hosting at home.
They might get a better matchup in the first round.
Yeah, but ultimately BYU should win that. And then the second round is where you're going to kind of define the season of, like, are we better than expectation or are we at expectation? Because my expectation is get two and win a first round game. And then if you lose the second round, it's like, that's probably the expectation. On the road against probably the hosting team, it's a tough game. But BYU showed us how high they can get. They stretched the ceiling, pushed it up a little bit. So that was a great win.
A sign of potential for the future.
Yeah, and they're very young. They start like four freshmen. So
young.
Exciting, great win. If they had beaten Cincinnati last Thursday, then I would say today is potentially to host
Wild.
A first and second round matchup.
Because but I don't think that's going to happen now. They're flirting with being a top 16 team.
Yes. I don't think they'll be in the top 16. I would love for that to happen, for them to host next week. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. I just hope that BYU, wherever they do end up, it's at a host site where the seed is like somewhere between 11 and 16.
Not top 8.
Exactly.
So it's like
even by somewhere like, 9 through 16, like there's a fighting chance.
And they
chance
can't
there.
Be matched up with the Big 12 team in that set of four until the Sweet 16, by the way, bracketing principle. So it's not ASU like last year.
Not going to be
Kansas. It's not Utah. It's not Kansas. Yep.
Okay. Just put them in a winnable bracket.
Just not at Stanford, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Although Stanford, I think, is struggled a little bit this year.
All right. Busy weekend ahead.
Still
good. A busy Friday, for crying out loud.
Hey, BYU Sports Nation game day. Cougar pregame live tomorrow, 8 Eastern. Houston and BYU. The game on ESPN, BYU Radio, 10:15 Eastern time. And then postgame, of course, on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Need a win and need a loss by either Arizona or a win by either Arizona or Iowa State. Kansas State against Iowa State and Arizona State.
Go
need
Wildcats.
Need the help.
Go Wildcats. After the break, BYU punter Sam Vanderhaar's journey to BYU has been a very interesting one. It began with pursuing a career in Aussie rules football. So how did he get to Provo? Deep Blue after the break. This is BYUSN. We are live in Studio B. Hope you're enjoying your Black Friday. Welcome back to your BYU Sports Day-to-Day Play-by-Play. I'm Spencer Linton, Jerem Jordan here in Studio B with me as well. BYU punter Sam Vanderhaar has been a part of some notable, unforgettable plays this season for the Cougars. But did you know he went from pursuing a career in Aussie rules football to pursuing an education and a career in American football? And to do so, Sam, his wife, and his mom all bet on him. Now they are seeing that bet pay off at BYU in Provo. This is Deep Blue featuring Sam Vanderhaar.
I grew up in Melbourne, Australia.
So he grew up playing Aussie rules football.
It's essentially just a mix of European handball, basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything.
Anything goes, like there's no rules.
They used to call him the dozer because he used to just barrel on through and send everyone flying.
He went to a sort of step under AFL, which is like the top sort of league, and had intentions that like in his young days, it's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to play AFL. That was his dream and goal and aspiration.
Sam and I met. He was vacationing in San Diego and I was living there at the time.
I think I was always intrigued by solo backpacking. It's very much part of the culture back home to go to Europe. And so I didn't want to do that, but I still wanted to travel. So that's kind of what prompted me to go backpacking around the US and Central America.
I was on a hike and we had run into each other. He came up to me and started talking to me, and obviously his accent was a point of conversation. That's where it started.
Prior going to traveling, Aussie rules was all I really cared about. And for me, if I don't do that, then I'm not really worth anything. That was kind of my identity. Once I went traveling and saw that there's so much more, it just added a new foundation into my life, which was really nice.
We were living in Sydney. We had both just been laid off our jobs because COVID had just hit. So we were kind of sitting there, maybe a bit anxious.
I worked out pretty quick that if I wanted to try and do what I wanted to do from a financial perspective in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, make a nice living for our family, I thought a degree would give me the best chance for that. So we made that decision pretty quickly.
That's when he was on Facebook and he saw someone he used to play with, and they had posted that they were over here in America playing college football, and they thanked Johnny and Chappie for Pro Kick Australia, and we were like, all right, who's Johnny and Chappie? And so we did a little research and found Pro Kick.
I'm Nathan Chapman, the owner, head coach of Pro Kick Australia, and basically I teach young men how to kick a football and send them to college in America. We really see ourselves as an academic institution. We just get that opportunity because we can kick a football.
I sent an email to John A. Smith and Nathan Chapman, and they quickly got back to me and said, yeah, we'd love to have you come and try out. And then I did more research, which I should have done before emailing them, and found out that it was, you know, quite expensive. And so I was like, all right, like, the very ignorant and naive part of me was like, oh, well, I don't need Pro Kick. I'll just try and do it on my own, and quickly found out that that wasn't really going to happen.
I've watched that boy from a little tiny thing to a man kick and run and pass and do all these things, and I knew he had it in him, and I knew he could do it and do it well. So, yeah, I didn't hesitate. And I said to him that, go for it. If this gives you the opportunity to do what it is that you want to do and achieve what you want to achieve, absolutely, I'll financially support you.
It kind of changed my incentive again, because I pretty much gave myself no option but to make it work, just because I wasn't gonna, I guess, waste her belief into me and just not give it everything. To prep for the tryout, I went to a sports shop. I bought what I thought was an NFL ball, but it was a composite ball that was about this big.
And there were quite a few things we didn't know in terms of, like, the 15-yard snapping and the hang time aspect. So we were like, you're a great punter already. Well, he showed up and it was raining and the wind was wild.
They threw me a ball and I was like, what is this? Like, I quickly realized, oh no, like, this is harder than what I thought.
So he got back to the car and it's immediately waterworks. Like, he was really upset. You know, there's a really high pressure and so much riding on it.
It was a pretty somber ride home. We didn't really speak a whole lot, and I was very emotional, more emotional than I probably ever let on about it, so.
But trying to stay optimistic of, we don't know what they thought and we don't know what's going to happen, but at the end of the day, it's hard to think that way when it goes so poorly in your eyes.
Hi, Sam. It was great to assess you today and have a frank discussion. Please take this email as our invitation for you to join the Pro Kick Australia full-time program. Again, the process over the coming months requires a great deal of hard work from all of us to achieve the prize of a full college scholarship, but this can and will be achieved.
He can really kick a football. He was strong, he could kick right foot, he could kick left foot. We knew we had a talent, or we'll call him a product, to be able to work with, and was just making sure that, again, he spent the time understanding the game, the different football. He needed to know what he needed to do in a game so that he could succeed.
He was 110% committed. He would be punting from 9 to 5. Like, it was his full-time job. Like, he did everything it took.
I was on the way to work. It was 8:30 in the morning. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic. Johnny always puts out, like, a call sign when someone gets a scholarship. And so I had liked it on Instagram. And then within, like, 10 seconds, he called me. And he was like, I noticed you liked this post on my Instagram. And I was like, yeah, like, congratulations. Like, that's so good. You got someone else a scholarship. And he was like, nah, actually, that scholarship's yours. You're going to Pitt in January. Couldn't drive. I was like, I need to pull over. And, you know, I cried a little bit just because I was just like, wow, it's finally happening. But then it quickly changed to, all right, I got a job to do.
So we were in Pittsburgh for 18 months. We played one season at Pitt, and we had great experiences, great teammates, a lot of fun. But we decided that wasn't the place for us for the long run. So Sam entered the transfer portal, and that was the beginning of our new beginning.
Once I'd spoken to BYU and did my research and saw all the aspects of the university and the unique aspects, particularly to do with the church and you know, things like the honor code and the way that they operate as an institution was something that I was really drawn to.
It was awesome to see them on their recruiting trip come here and see, man, we can really fit here. There's all these other married people too as well. And coming from Pitt, where he was at before, you know, they were the only married couple there.
I think
BYU will be a phenomenal place for he and his wife, but I also think that he's good for us because he brings an outsider's perspective from, you know, a foreigner coming from a different country.
I thought it was going to be like a good fit, but I couldn't have never imagined that it was going to be as like special as it's been.
He's performing better, and that's a direct reflection on where he is and the support team around him and Papringa and Kalani.
Friends he's made are amazing. All these kids are just wonderful. As a mum, I know they're happy. So even though they're on the other side of the world, I sleep easy at night.
It's not a coincidence that I've ended up here. That's, I guess, the way I look at it. And I think just the way that I get along with the coaches and the guys on the team and the success that I plan to have here, I think that in a weird way, I was always meant to end up here.
I definitely want to tell him how proud I am of him, of everything he's overcome. I mean, not only moving to a new country, starting, you know, a marriage, but also absolutely doing wonderfully in school and football. So it's really impressive. You know, a lot of people couldn't even imagine what he's taking on.
Never, ever, ever give up on your dream. And if that dream is not working on that pathway, then choose another pathway so you can achieve that dream. And when you get pushed down and people give up on you, dust yourself off. Get up and keep going.
I love you. I'm so proud of you.
A great story and a great message. Men's basketball taking on NC State today, 3:30 Eastern on Fox and BYU Radio. Pre-game on the radio at 2:30 Eastern time, live from San Diego.
After the break, we continue a busy Thanksgiving weekend around BYU Sports, and it features a big upset. Headlines on the way. This is BYU Sports Nation. Hopefully a few more upsets.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Black Friday headlines.
Number 19, BYU football hosts Houston tomorrow in the regular season finale. 13-point favorite for the Cougs. BYU clinches a spot in the Big 12 championship game with a win over Houston and a loss by Arizona State or Iowa State. When I say Cougars, I should probably clarify the Blue Cougs. Pre-game coverage starts at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
On to Cougars in the NFL, beginning with Chris Brooks, who had 3 carries for 28 yards in a Green Bay Packers 30-17 win over the Dolphins last night against his former team. Puka Nacua and the LA Rams travel to New Orleans to take on Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the Saints. Fred Warner and San Francisco in Buffalo to play the red-hot Bills. Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens host the Philadelphia Eagles. Huge game there. Tyler Allgeier and the Atlanta Falcons take on the Los Angeles Chargers.
Men's basketball lost to number 23, Ole Miss, 96-85 in OT in game one at the Rady's Children Invitational in San Diego. 5 Cougars scored in double figures, 17 from Cannon Catchings, 16 from Foos and Yegor Demon. BYU plays NC State game two at 3:30 Eastern today on Fox and BYU Radio.
BYU women's basketball took care of another team from Houston. Rice, 63-51 in game one of the Cancun Challenge yesterday. Cougars, led by Delaney Gibbs, 20 points, and Amari Whiting adding 15. BYU back in action tonight against 22nd-ranked Iowa, 9 Eastern, live on BYU Radio. I've heard Shep's sunburn isn't that bad, Jeremy.
Well, hopefully fewer shirtless picks. Women's volleyball upsets number 11, Kansas, in 4 sets Wednesday. The Cougars, led by Claire Littles, 18-kill, 11-dig double-double. BYU finishes the regular season tonight at Kansas State, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
That takes care of your headlines. After the break, he's been a Cougar in red and a Cougar in blue. He is former Houston standout of Phi Sigma Jamma and BYU men's basketball head coach legend Dave Rose. He joins us after the break. We're talking hoops, football. Stick around.
I love BYU, and I love all these players.
Really fortunate that I've been around long enough to actually win 200 games.
Coach so many great players, and today's the day that I'm going to retire.
Now that is a sizzle reel featuring a BYU legend.
Right?
Yeah. That was awesome. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live on a Friday in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. The man of the moment is former BYU basketball head coach Dave Rose, who is in Studio B. Coach.
It's been a minute. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
What do you think when you watch that little sizzle reel we just put together?
I look a lot younger. a lot's happened since a lot of those pictures that happened not on TV. And that's kind of how I enjoy my life now.
Will you get people up to speed with kind of what you're up to and where you're at and what you do?
We live, Cheryl and I live, we moved to St. George a few years ago, and we live there, and we have 8 grandkids, and we spend most of our time, our 4 granddaughters live up here, and they're swimmers, and in fact, our oldest granddaughter, Annie, she swims here at BYU, so we spend a lot of time in a... I thought hot gyms were bad, but the hot pools.
The humidity in that building.
Steamy.
And then my boy, Garrett, they have four boys, and they're involved in football, basketball. I got one of them who's a snowboarder. He loves the winter. He's in the wrong place, living in St. George.
I know. I ran into Garrett down in St. George a couple months ago.
Yeah, he's coaching at Hurricane High School, and that's where his kids are. So. Nice. It's fun. And then my youngest daughter, she lives out in Oregon on the coast. And she somehow got into the law business. And
oh, so boy.
She's a defense attorney. Yeah.
Okay. Can she make a case for BYU to get into the college football playoffs?
She probably could. Yeah. Very good.
A logical approach.
Yeah. The case this weekend will be interesting to watch, won't it?
Certainly. The great Dave Rhodes with us on BYU Sports Nation. Speaking of Houston, let's throw it back to the general question of what are some of your favorite memories of playing basketball for the Cougars in red?
Well, I think that I was so fortunate. Cheryl and I, you know, we were at Dixie College at the time, and we were engaged to get married, and we're trying to figure out where I'm going next, you know, where I'm going to play. And I was playing baseball at the time, and I had different offers to play baseball, and I really wanted to play basketball, and this opportunity at Houston came along a little bit late, but we jumped at it, and so the two of us packed up and got married, and we moved to Houston, and the 3 years there were really interesting. 3 things happened, really. Obviously, we got married, and so we had to figure out how to be married. That's a tough...
Challenge number one.
Challenge number one. And then number two was I was majoring in business, and I didn't really like that, and so I had to change that and do something that I liked. And then number three was playing on that team, trying to figure out how I could help them actually be successful. And we ended up being pretty good our senior year, coming one game away from winning the whole thing.
One shot away. It's crazy. Yeah. It's famously one shot away. Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you bring it up to most fans over the age of, what, maybe 25 or 30, they probably know what's going on.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And we're not going to tell you. We're going to move on to the next subject. BYU basketball obviously has evolved over the years. Now it's in a new era with Kevin Young and in the Big 12, and where BYU is getting guys that they think will be one and done potentially in Yegor Damon and Cannon Catchings. What are you seeing from this new era of BYU basketball?
Well, it is really exciting to watch. I'm really happy for the players, because for the last 10 years, the last 5 or 6 years I was coaching, it was a real topic of discussion how we were going to, move to the future. And what type of compensation are these players actually going to receive? I don't think I ever imagined that it would be like it is now, but it's really good for the players. The players have got, and then, just the opportunity for coaches now with the staff sizes. You got so many more positions so that young coaches can get on a staff, get some experience, and get into the profession. And so I'm excited to watch it. And I don't know how excited I would be, because I coached it for 35, 40 years one way, and then to switch that thing over. I think the guys who are adjusting the best are, number one, the guys who have the best support financially from their schools, but number two, the guys who are younger in the business and think more like the younger, generation kids. The older guys, just hanging on. You know? I think you'll see a lot of those guys retire in the next few years.
And I wouldn't call Tony Bennett old, but he was like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Right before the season, right?
Yeah.
Now
and
Kevin
Jay,
Young.
And Jay Wright, you know, he left. And then you saw the old guys, you know, Roy and Mike Krzyzewski. I think you'll see that more of a pattern.
With Kevin Young, he doesn't know what it was before.
Oh, no.
Which is an advantage for him, right?
And he's very fortunate because he's been paying players, you know, since, well, as a
coach. That was someone else's job.
As a coach, his players were being
sure,
paid.
In the NBA.
Yes.
So he's coached that issue forever. So I think that'll be a real advantage for him. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Kevin Young's team. Through six games, what jumps off the screen when you're watching BYU this year?
To me, it's their depth, okay? I mean, they've got really skilled players and, you know, hardworking guys. But the depth of that team, in the long run, it will be a real advantage for the team. But trying to figure out how you use that depth and then those players trying to figure out how to adjust to their role on the depth chart. And I think that you saw them last night, they played 12 guys, and that is going to be tough. It just is. You want that to be an advantage, but in college basketball, you get into to January, that bench starts to shorten, and then how everybody reacts to it. It's really fun for me. I got so many friends that are still doing it, and so I hear a lot of what the young players now have to say and what they think, and the fact that now that they can transfer after a year, players are moving on, they're on the move. And if you look at the recruiting charts that the teams have, the main chart, the most important chart, is where they can get their players from other schools, not from high school.
Which is wild.
That's
regarding
wild.
The depth, you guys, two top 100 ESPN kids coming off the bench. And one isn't playing a ton right now. That's how deep BYU is, which is crazy.
You go on the road, your first game out of your building, okay, and your two leading scorers are your two freshmen. That you have to go back a long ways to probably figure that out. Obviously they had four guys last night score almost the same amount of points, but the two freshmen were right there at the top, and that means you've got pretty good kids.
Dave Rose is on BYU Sports Nation, so let's talk about the quick turnaround for BYU. You go through a tough overtime loss, and it felt like BYU might win that game late in regulation when they had a four-point lead and the basketball and some turnovers let Ole Miss back in and get to OT, and you just run out of gas. So you're frustrated. How do you get your team right mentally the next day to take on another good team?
Yeah, well, it's less than a day when you actually figure out the time they got done with everything they had to get done, and then trying to turn the page and move on. I think they got a pretty good guy to help them with that because Kevin Young, you know, has experienced turnover in the NBA is as
back-to-back
serious as anywhere. Yep. But I do believe that game last night obviously it's a disappointment for the fellas because they didn't win it. But they played really well, and when you're playing a team coached by Chris Beard, he is so tough-minded and defensive-minded and physical, and I think I saw somewhere where it's the oldest team in the NCAA as far as age is concerned, and we're pretty young, so I think those older guys have a real advantage, especially early in the year. The secret to this thing here is how they react, how they come back today, because they're playing a really good team, and they got to put that behind them and get on to the next game, and that'll be interesting to see how they do that.
You got out olded. What era is this?
Yes.
I thought we were the old team.
Everything's changing. Everything's changing.
All right, Dave, stick around for a second segment. We got you. Sure. We got you for Big 12 Pick'em. Okay, women's hoops playing today as well. Number 22, Iowa. They missed Caitlin Clark by a year, but they're playing them tonight. 9 Eastern time. You can listen to it on BYU Radio.
As Jared mentioned, Big 12 Pick'em is on the way. Final weekend. I'm down 4, so I had to be super aggressive here, Jeremy.
We're doing it for bowl games?
Equal this. I guess we could if you want to keep it competitive.
Let's keep it going.
You're kicking my butt after this week.
Not really. I can lose it this week.
Dave's going to join us, too. Can't wait to see who he's got. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. It is time for Big 12 Pick'em, and let's remind everyone who stands atop the leaderboard of our celebrity guest pickers.
America's sweetheart Ashley Hatch still in the lead.
Incredible.
Let's go.
4-1. She only had 5 games to pick. No. She nailed 4 of them.
I don't care.
That's tough.
80%.
It's a great win percentage.
You do win percentage on that graph.
Yeah. All right. With that said, Dave Rose is our celebrity guest picker this week. Coach, you know the drill. We've set up a game. You tell us who you think is going to win, and off we go. In fact, one of them's happening right now.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yes, it is.
Oklahoma State at number 25, Colorado.
My pick is Colorado.
That's a good pick because they're up big early.
Oh, are they really?
Oklahoma State hasn't won a Big 12 game this year. They won't. They're going to lose.
It's 21-0.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. So
they're a little upset about last week.
I'm sure. Yeah. We all went Colorado before we started the showcase.
Come
so
on.
All three Colorado here. Game number two, also later today. Battle of 4-7 teams. Utah, long trip in Orlando at UCF. The Utes have lost 7 straight games. UCF has lost 7 of 8. So what gives here?
Man, it's a tough call for me because I have so much respect for Kyle and his team, but I'm gonna go with UCF, and not, just because I think that those guys are at home and that they'll have a little more energy.
Sure.
I can't remember who I picked. Was it Utah, Colton? I can't remember what I told you. UCF? Okay.
I picked UCF as well for all the reasons that Dave just stated. Long road trip. Utah's playing a 4-string quarterback.
I don't think Utah has a lot of motivation. Yeah.
Okay. So we have not disagreed on anything for the first two games.
Is this Kyle Whittingham's last game? Is my question. We'll find out.
Kansas at Baylor. The two hottest teams in the league right now. Kansas is rolling. So is Baylor. Baylor's at home. Dave, who do you have?
I'm going with Kansas, and the reason is just because you might get a little bit of an edge to the players at Kansas to try to get bowl eligible.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Baylor's bowl eligible, but they're on a roll. They're playing really well. After we beat them, you know, early in the year, I didn't know if they would recover. You know, they were having a hard time, but I'm going to go with Kansas.
Kansas as well.
I picked Baylor just to be different because I knew you'd pick Kansas.
Nice.
I'm trying to get back in this competition.
Nice.
So you and I have picked the same.
Yeah.
I just hope I don't have to shave my head.
Exactly.
Okay, game
good,
four.
Good 9-year callback.
Yeah.
We'll go up-tempo now. West Virginia at Texas Tech. Who wins the game?
I'm going with the home team, with Texas Tech.
Yeah, give me some tortillas on the field, Texas Tech.
And I think I forgot who I picked.
I don't have my computer in front of me.
That's right. This is a last-minute decision because to be different. There's another different. West Virginia
for you. Okay.
Oh.
Taking some flyers here. Okay. Game number five. TCU at Cincinnati, Dave.
I went with the home team again. And even though TCU is they're on a roll, and I think they're a really talented team that plays well, Cincinnati's, I just think they, the home team got an edge here.
I like Skyline Chili, but TCU 4-1 in their last 5, only loss is at Baylor where they lost by a field goal, TCU.
I'm with Dave. I'm taking the home team, Cincinnati, 3.5-point underdog. I think they figure it out on their home field. They're fighting for bowl eligibility too. Okay, game number 6, Arizona State at Arizona and the Territorial Cup, Dave.
Yeah, I this one's hard for me because I know who I want to win. I know who I don't want to win. But I'm going to go with Arizona State. I think they've had a special year, and this is a rivalry game similar to our Utah game. I mean, these kids are – the season would take a real hit for them without a win, so I think they're going to get it.
Sparky.
All right, yeah, I'm going with Arizona.
Yep.
Because I'm going.
I'm going with
my heart, and it's another.
You're either going to catch up to me or get blown out.
Yes, absolutely.
No wonder this guy's losing.
It's desperate times.
Desperate times.
All right, Jerem, I'm going to combine the last two games for us, and we'll get Dave. Okay, Kansas State, Iowa State. Who do you got?
Who did I have, Colton? I can't remember. Kansas State, I think. Kansas State.
Okay, I'm going with Kansas State as well, and then obviously we're taking BYU.
Yep.
Okay.
So
those are ours. Dave, who do you take? Kansas State, Iowa State?
I'm going with Kansas State because the Utah effect.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, it's a real thing.
The week after playing Utah, teams lose.
Iowa State is going to get got beat up, yeah.
Okay. You got BYU, right?
Oh, yeah. I love my Red Cougars, but they're in a little problem right now trying to figure out where they're going, and so I'm going with our guys.
Great stuff. Dave, so glad to have you. Our question of the day: how are we feeling about BYU's chances to make the Big 12 championship game? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from Rhino Shan on X, who says, "I haven't forgotten that this team is a team of destiny. 100% lock, already booked in Dallas.
Love it."
Today's Rise and Shout Out, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
The 20 seniors on the football team. Senior day tomorrow night.
Our thanks to today's fabulous guest, Dave Rose. Thanks, Dave.
Woo! Good job, Dave. No time for Dennis, sorry.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Cheryl Rose.
Yes.
Go Cougs and go Wildcats!